Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 6, with Scott Mader from InspiredStewardship.com.
Hi, this is Scott Swan, TV news anchor with WTHR Channel 13. This is Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Hope you'll listen.
You know, we are an integral being. We are made of one stuff. And the way those things are put together inside of us, if you change one area, it has to affect the other.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 6. I'm Brad Miller, your host. So delighted that you are here to be with us on this journey, this pathway together to find your promised life. That's what we're all about here at the Pathway to Promise podcast, the belief that every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and you have to implement a planned pathway along with the proper people, your guides, to quickly overcome adversity and profound challenges to achieve your promised life. And we're here to help you do that here today. We have a special guest with us today. His name is Scott Mader, and he has a company, a coaching service, and called InspiredStewardship.com. And they are he is a person who has just a deep faith in Jesus Christ, and that motivates him to take on this task to be helpful to people a lot like you and me, to learn how to manage your time and your talent and your all your treasures so you can get unstuck and live out your calling. Scott has an incredible story to tell, which he's going to share with us about how he hit rock bottom in his life, both financially and emotionally and spiritually, and was at a place, a dark, dark place, where he thought about doing some dark, dark things. And he'll tell you about them when we get together in our interview in a few minutes. But he pulled out of that and came through, and he's going to tell you exactly how he got through that that deep, dark place in his life. And I'll give you a hint. A part of it has to do with a radio show that he listened to and got him inspired and got him going. And he got together with his wife. He got together in his faith. And they now have worked out a process to help you in the area of stewardship, how to make a plan and stick with it and have discipline in all areas of your life, and how that's a good thing. How relationships are key to growing forward and to listen to the voice of God through other people, and to that can help you not only get out of debt and be successful financially, but to have a successful marriage, to have a successful spiritual life, to be a good friend, to be a good person who adds value to this world. You're going to love what you hear from Scott, and I know that you're going to love it because Scott is going to be a regular contributor here on the Pathway to Promise podcast to help you to deal with stewardship issues of getting through debt and getting to become successful financially and many other ways as well. Here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, we're here about serving you, and we want you to know that we are here for you. We have a gift for you if you'd like to go to pathwaypromise.com. It's a guide to help you. It's called How to Frame Your Day for Success, the 4-Minute Way. And we invite you to go over there and check out that gift that we have for you. As always, we appreciate you being with us. And it's now time for us to get into our interview with Scott Mader from InspiredStewardship.com. And it is is my pleasure today to welcome to the podcast from InspiredStewardship.com, it's Scott Mader. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brad, I'm glad to be here. How you doing?
Fantastic, fantastic. Good to talk to you. We have been in connected through some podcast movement and some other things we're working on together, and I've come to know you as a friend and as a mentor in the area of stewardship, something that I work on in my own life and my own leadership that I'm working on. But I know that our theme and for our podcast here is folks who have faced some challenge in their life and got through it and to come out in a better place. And we like to call that better place the promised land or the place of promise. And so, Scott, I just kind of just tell us a little bit about your story in terms of, I know you've faced some challenges in your life and you've kind of come out the other side a little bit better place. Just share with us a little bit about your story.
Sure, Brad. I'd be happy to. So I've been, well, let me go all the way back to high school real quick. Okay, when I was in high school, I was raised in a faithful family. I was raised with a mom and dad, you know, had a great household growing up. But at the same time, we had some challenges there. My father was an alcoholic. We dealt with some pretty serious family challenges brought on by his addiction. Eventually, my mom and dad divorced and that sort of thing, and in large part because of that addiction. So even though I had a great life, you know, growing up, I also had some challenges there. And as a part of that, kind of talking about the stewardship thing and the faith thing that I know is going to come up again throughout this process, I actually left the church after high school. Strangely, I left the church shortly after I'd been accepted to be considered to attend seminary. Okay. So, you know, my pastor today tells me that I'm either all in or all out. And that is kind of my personality. Mm-hmm. I'm either, you know, in with both feet or running away as fast as I can. So I'd left the church and fast forward a little bit. I became a school teacher, went to college, became a school teacher, married my high school sweetheart. We went through a bad period and actually ended up divorced. And, you know, kind of bringing it up to a little bit more modern time here in the 2000s. The biggest challenging period is my current wife, my second wife, and I. We began to do what Americans do. We began to spend more money than we had. We began to
started going, you know, down that kind spiral, of, right?
Absolutely. Live beyond our means, and run up debt. You know, the old joke, I owe, so it's off to work I go.
Okay.
And that's the life we were living. And of course, you know, because I'm a good husband, I was protecting my wife from all of this and lying to her and saying, oh, no, we're fine. We got plenty of money, as the little debt ticker began to climb upward.
Okay.
We ended up about $55,000 in debt, and I made less than that in a year as a school teacher.
Those numbers don't quite go together there, do they, Scott?
Yeah. You know, the ratio was a little wrong, and I was working quite late at night as a school teacher. You know, everyone who thinks that school teachers go home at 3 o'clock and are done for the day, and that's why they get paid so little, hasn't ever met a school teacher.
I come from a family of school. I've come from a family of school teachers. For three of my sisters and both my parents were school teachers, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't ever make the mistake as a school teacher of actually calculating your per hour rate. You'll get very, very depressed very quickly. It's a shockingly small number. So anyway, I would be driving home late at night, and I began to the financial situation just began to weigh on me. And I found out since, you know, through research I've done since, that this is actually very, very common for men. Men tie a lot of their identity into being good providers for their family. It's how God wired us. Our job is, you know, in our mind at least, is to be the protector and the provider. And when we struggle in those areas, it tends to crush our identity. And I began to have that problem. I began to suffer from depression, and I began to consider suicide. I would be driving home late at night. It's a very windy road that I have to drive home. Had some pretty sharp drop-offs. And I began to consider, well, if I, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning driving home, 12 o'clock at night driving home, people would believe I fell asleep and drove off the cliff. So insurance would pay out.
So you had some dark, so you had some really dark places, some dark thoughts there, it sounds like.
It was not a good period. It wasn't a good place to be mentally. It wasn't a good place to be emotionally. And of course, at the time, I was away from God and faith. I wasn't confiding in my wife. I wasn't talking to her because I was going to, quote, protect her from all of this. In retrospect, I was stupid. But that's where I was mentally. I knew that, you know, if the insurance paid out, it'd get my wife out of debt and she'd have a little bit of money left over to kind of get her life started. And I began to convince myself that this was the right thing. And basically God intervened. What happened is they changed the lineup on the radio station and they stopped playing Bill O'Reilly and started playing rebroadcast of Dave Ramsey.
Okay.
And so I began to hear this madman out of Tennessee who was talking about, you know, living without debt, living without credit and, you know, living on less than you make and saving for retirement and all of these, you know, there's crazy, crazy concepts like that.
Wow.
so I, as I was listening to him, I began to kind of argue with the radio. I don't know if, am I the only one that ever does that? You know, talks out loud to the radio whenever you're listening to the radio.
I yell at the TV quite often too. I talk to the radio and yell at the TV depending on what's on. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was yelling at the radio, kind of the same thing, just chewing it out for, you know, his stupidity of having the audacity to say that you could live without debt. You know, you could live a cash only life. And basically, after about 3 or 4 days of this, I realized that instead of thinking about suicide, I was actually kind of listening to the show. And I began to kind of pay attention to what he was actually saying. And quite frankly, it was common sense. And though it sounded like it was going to be hard work, it didn't sound like it was something that was really all that impossible. And so basically, I heard one episode where he was talking to actually a wife and basically told her, you know, you have to come clean to your husband. You have to go tell him what's on and the two of you have to get on the same page and work together. And that weekend, I went to my wife and said, I got to come clean. I got to tell you what's going on. Well, you know,
that was pretty sobering for her, wasn't it?
Actually, she already knew.
So it was the other way around. It was pretty sobering for you.
Yeah, it was sobering for me. My wife's not stupid. She kind of knew what was going on. But
are you telling me that you married up?
I definitely married up. I married well beyond my weight class. I'll put it that way to use a boxing metaphor.
There you go.
She outpunted my coverage, if you want a football metaphor. We'll go with that one. But basically, she knew what was going on. She didn't know how depressed I was. She didn't know about the suicidal thoughts. And I came clean on that as well.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I've been listening to this guy on the radio, and she looked at me and said, oh, you mean Dave Ramsey? Because it turned out that during the day she was listening to the episodes live, and then at night I was listening to the rebroadcast. We'd actually been listening to the same radio show, but not knowing it, you know, not talking about it. And basically, we at that point decided we were going to turn our lives around. We were going to work together. We were going to take control of our time, our talent, and our treasures. We were going to become better stewards of what God had given us. And if you'll notice the language change, that's also the moment that I returned to God.
Yes.
That's also the moment that I stopped running.
So it's all integrated, isn't it? You know,
all tied together.
It's much more than the dollars and cents. It's your marital relationship, your mental state, your emotional state, as well as your spiritual state. It's all integrated.
Well, and that's what I've found out, you know, since is it actually makes a lot of sense that all of this changed kind of at the same time because they are all connected. You know, we are an integral being. We are made of one stuff. And the way those things are put together inside of us, if you change one area, it has to affect the others. There's no doubt about it. You know, I help people now with their finances, and the number of times I'm helping a client with their finances and they come back later and they say, I'm losing weight. Why am I losing weight?
There you go.
You know, you're just helping me with my budget. Why are you and my money and getting out of debt and I'm losing weight? And it's basically because discipline in one area spreads out to the others. That's how we're designed.
Yeah. And you're getting healthier overall. You're healthier with your financial status.
You bring the health in one area. Yeah, absolutely. And you bring the health in one and it comes into the others.
How about that? That's amazing. That's amazing to hear your story. So where you've, and that's kind of evolved now. So you've ended up now making this your life, right? I mean, this
exactly
for helping others to do the same thing, basically, right?
Basically, you know, I like I said, I was a school teacher at that time. I left teaching a few years later. I went to work for a testing company and worked for them for 10 years. But in the meantime, after my wife and I had kind of turned our own life around financially and spiritually and maritally, it made our, you know, our entire life better, even health wise. I mean, we started to do things there. Mm-hmm. But we decided to begin coaching others into how to kind of take control of their own life the same way. How did that come about? It came about because people started asking us questions. You know, people would come to us and say, how did you do this?
So people noticed in one way or another, the change in you and your wife's your lifestyle and your demeanor and how you treated others and things like this. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. People would see the results and the actions and the way we did things, the way we said things, the way the choices we were making. And as they observed those things, they would, if they were someone who wanted that kind of spirit in their life, for lack of a better word, they would begin seeking out answers. And that often meant they came and asked questions, you know, how did you do this? Why are you doing that kind of things? And so informally, we began coaching people. We later went and picked up trainings and certifications and, you know, learned how to do different pieces and different techniques and all of these things. But it started as just informal coaching. And then over the last 5 years, 6 years, we've turned that into a business. And that's now what we do full time.
And now that's what you now have inspired stewardship.com, where you do counseling and provide leadership and training in the area of helping people get a handle on their debt and other things like this, right?
Well, yeah. The way we actually describe it is we help people who feel like they have a calling in life, but their time, their talent, or their treasures are getting in the way. So either the way they handle their productivity, the way they handle their finances, or the knowledge and skills that they have, they feel like there's a gap. And they want someone to come along beside them and coach them in how to turn that around so that they can go live out that calling.
So part of this is to understand that calling is that they've been promised a certain life by something greater than themselves, but they're not sure how to get there. And part of what
absolutely
you're providing is to provide a guide or a coach to help people get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Scott, what do you think are some of the, in this process that you had to sort things out of on your own, out of the own chaos of your own life, what do you think were some of the specific bold actions that you took in this process to get you through this really dark time? What are some of the actions that you took?
You know, basically it boils down, as far as I'm concerned, to one thing, and that is developing a plan and then sticking to it. And that sounds kind of simplistic, sounds easy. It's not. But in our case, we kind of followed the rules that Dave Ramsey lays out, the baby steps for our finances. But this comes for productivity. This comes for other things as well. We sat down and gave up everything. You know, you want to talk about bold action. I mean, you know, we stopped taking vacations. We stopped eating out.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Some of those, what everything entails.
Everything. You know, we would not go out to eat with friends. We didn't go out to eat alone. We cut off cable, cut off the television. We didn't have any sort of TV for, probably 10 years.
Wow.
Now, we'd gotten out of debt long before the 10 years was up, but we'd given it up during getting out of debt, and we just kind of were like, whatever. You know, it wasn't that important to us, so we didn't have it.
Me and Scott, somehow you've managed to make it in life without 500 channels in your TV or whatever it is now, and Netflix and everything else.
Yeah, well, we have finally, in the last 2 years, we've actually started watching Netflix, but it's literally been in the last 2 to 3 years that we started doing that.
Watch out, you can get hooked on that Netflix stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you know, yeah, we figure if there was things happening in the world, we would find out what they were through other means. We could live without TV. And that's kind of the point. For us, that was okay. For other people, maybe TV is a priority to them, and that's not what they want to give up. And that's fine. You know, it's not about doing it my way. It's about making those choices for yourself and finding a way to live towards what your true values are, towards what you really want.
But what you're also saying is that you do have to change. You do have to change whatever lifestyle you're at now, if you want to get out of your depression or get out of your situation, get out of your difficulty, be it debt or something else, you got to take some action that's apart from what you have been doing.
Odds are really good you're going to have to. I mean, I think, you know, this is attributed to Einstein. I'm not so sure that he's really the one that said it, but the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Yeah.
So, you know, or to quote Dr. Phil, you know, how's that working for you? The idea that, you know, you can do the same thing and expect your relationships to change, you expect your finances to change, expect your health to change, expect your career to change, your marriage to change, to whatever. You know, it does not change by itself.
You have to
change
first.
Requires energy. And you have to change you. The only thing you have control over is you. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot change others. You cannot, you know, I'm going to talk to the husbands here just because I don't want to be accused of going the other direction.
You can count me in as one
guys,
of
those. You cannot change your wives. You can't make them do what you want them to do. You just can't. What you can do is create a situation where they want to do it because you've shown them that it's worthy to do through your own actions and changing yourself and valuing them and valuing the relationship and everything else. Same thing goes for your finances. You know, that we have enough money to do just about anything, but none of us have enough money to do everything.
It's about making choices.
You've got to make choices.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned energy a second ago, Scott, about how it takes energy to make these changes. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you a minute about where do you get the energy from. What I mean by that, energy to me means that we have to draw on some sort of a resource. You know, we eat food, we exercise to get physical energy, for instance. And mm-hmm. so, but what kind of power, what kind of resource, what kind of what kind of things did you draw on greater than yourself to get you through this transformation, be that your inner mental workings, your relationship with your wife, or spiritual disciplines? What are some of the things that power greater than yourself that you drew on to give you that energy?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I mean, you know, the idea to me today comes down to, you know, love God, love others, love self. And the same thing goes for drawing energy. For me, the first foundation is one of faith and one of belief in God. And that's what I've returned to. That's where I am. That's how I live that out. And even when things are not going well and I'm beating myself up and, you know, I'm starting to get dark and dreary again. And, you know, guess what? That happens today. I mean, it's not like my life is all roses today and everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's life is perfect.
Right.
You know, but I try to circle back and return to that fundamental faith and have that belief that God is going to help provide. And that is a source of energy. That is a source of hope. And hope is energy.
Yes.
Belief that you can change. Belief that the world can look better. Belief that, you know, yes, it's bad today, but it won't be bad forever is a source of energy. And so kind of coming to that second step. So if there's faith, well, like I mentioned, there's dark days, too. There's days that things are down. There's days that I'm in my office and it's not going right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where loving others comes in. That's finding those key relationships for me, my wife, my son, you know, my mother. I'm lucky enough that I still have a living parent. Those sorts of people that really matter in your life, and having those people able to speak into your life. I have a dear friend, the parent of my daughters, who is, you know, she struggles in ways. And yet the other day I was kind of having a down day and she said, well, I'm going to pray for you.
Hmm.
And, you know, just hearing that and realizing, wow, you know,
that's an affirmation. That's a resource in and of itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. And guess what? You know, did I snap out of it and everything was perfect that day? No. But at the same time, it impacted me and began to turn me in a way that the energy began to move more positive instead of more negative. So instead of spiraling downward, it stopped that spiral and I began to go the other direction.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you, and part of that resource that you've mentioned is your people, right? People in your
Absolutely.
Life. And and I think that kind of goes to what I want to touch on next, is about how important relationships are, especially knowing that there's somebody out there that loves you no matter what, and that you have, you know, that you have something, some responsibility to those that, that you love. Can tell me a little bit about, you know, the, go a little deeper on these area of relationships. You've mentioned your wife several times, and now your mother and some other people praying for you. Tell me about loving relationships and how that impacts life change, particularly as we kind of look to get through some of these challenging times.
Sure. So my wife, especially for me, my wife is, and
what's
this
her name,
is,
by the way? You've
Sure, Carrie.
Yeah, okay.
My wife Carrie is I the way I put it to other people, and every time I say this in front of my wife, she turns red and blushes. Is my wife is the voice of God for me, and I don't mean that in a
that's
you know,
pretty
I don't
heady.
Mean
that's
that
pretty heady stuff there.
Yeah, you know, I don't mean that in the way of you know, because she bosses me around or something. It's not that. I mean, oftentimes, whenever I'm struggling with hearing what God is asking me to do, I need to go talk to her.
Okay.
And through that action of sitting down and the two of us talking and her listening, and then usually in about three or four words, she'll reflect to me. And it's like, oh, yeah, duh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Never mind. Off I go, you know.
Able to cut through the bull a little bit and get to the heart
exactly.
of the matter, huh?
And get to the heart of the matter. And how does that happen? It happens because she knows me and she loves me.
It sounds also like she has a discerning spirit about her table.
Oh, she absolutely does. That's one of her spiritual gifts. She's a supporter. She's somebody who, you know, today she's actually driving someone into town because their husband had surgery. They don't have a car that's working right now. You know, she's the person that people call upon to do those sorts of things because that's just who she is.
Someone to be dependent upon, right?
Absolutely. And someone to do it in a caring, supporting, not judging way. You know, it's
and yet there's,
in other words,
yet there's an accountability in that, Scott. And I think in loving relationships that, you know, if we're going to get through these difficult times, if we have someone that we are, you know, kind of respond to or accountable to on an ongoing matter, on an ongoing relationship, a loving relationship, that can be a catalyst, that can be an inspiration to help us change and get through these difficult times.
Absolutely. And it goes both ways. I mean, you know, I am accountable to her. She is accountable to me. We are both accountable to our marriage. And yes, I treat that as three different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's accountability. People hear that as a dirty word. You know, accountability is bad. It's really not.
It goes to trust, doesn't it? It goes to that trust.
It goes to trust. It goes to truly loving someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just say yes to somebody and enable them to do something that is bad for them, that's not truly loving. If that makes sense.
Sure.
If I'm going to go buy alcohol for the alcoholic.
Yeah.
I'm enabling them. I'm not loving them.
That's not loving. That's just, you know, like you said, enabling.
That's enabling.
That's supporting a disease, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for finances. If you know, one of the spouses is a spender and is always out blowing money, creating a situation that allows them to continue that bad behavior is not truly loving. So sometimes you have to call them out on it in a loving way, you know. But it's about mutual accountability. And again, you know, kind of getting back to the coaching business, that's part of the reason my wife and I do this is what we did it by ourselves and it was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. We've discovered that making some of these changes in your life while having a third party who helps guide the process, a coach, mm-hmm. in other words, makes it happen faster and with less pain.
Yeah.
So that's now what we do, you know, for other people. And I wish I would have had that when we were doing it.
Sure. Well, you had kind of the inspiration from Dave Ramsey's radio show, but the application means that you have to get down and do it. So there's that part, you know, the part of that, which is your relationship with your wife and so on. But you're saying that maybe other third parties could have been helpful. And that's what you're working on now to be helpful to other people. That kind
Correct.
Of.
And to me, that kind of comes back to that emotional connection and relationship thing. It's not in the same way, but it's also, you know, it's being open emotionally to allow others to speak into your life.
Yeah.
Now that's for me is, you know, a spouse, it's a coach, it's a pastor, it's a, you know, there's all sorts of people that can fill those roles.
Sure.
But being open emotionally to allow that to speak into your life, as opposed to being closed off and doing it all by yourself, is what allows that change to happen.
And that emotional, that's all your foundational stuff. And the whole process of getting through these dark times, whether it's being in debt or your marriage in trouble or, you know, being having to deal with
health.
A life-threatening disease or something, you have to have application. And what I want to talk to you now is about what are some of the, in the process of getting through this, getting through your dark times to come to your promised life, what are some of the disciplines? What are some of the habits? What are some of the things that you've done that are, you know, you've changed your life, but what are some of the things you do now that help it to happen, help it to get through on a daily basis? Change a lifestyle, I guess what I'm talking about.
Right. Just changing the discipline on the systems, the routines, habits, all of those things.
Right.
Yeah. We, you know, I laugh because we did our first budget. My wife and I, and I'm going to stick with finances for a second. My wife and I did our first budget in 2009. Okay. No, 2006. I'm sorry. My dyslexia kicked in. I turned the number upside down. We did our first budget in 2006. So it's 2017. So every month for the past 11 years, we've done a budget.
And I assume that's a different thing than what you were doing before then, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, we did our first budget in 2006. We never budgeted before. We just kind of lived, you know, by the seat of our pants. And that's why we were in debt up to our eyeballs. And, you know, that for us is part of our plan. Now, I know there are people that don't like budgets and there are people that say, oh, you don't have to do one. For us, it works. For us, this has changed our life. This is something that has allowed us to have control over our money. And make decisions with our money in a way that lives out our values. And we've done that routinely, you know, for 11 years. It now takes, you know, 15 minutes and then maybe 5 minutes once a week. You know, so we're not talking about hours and hours and hours of time. I can tell you, though, back in 2006, when we started doing it,
right.
It took a long time to do a budget.
Yeah.
You know,
it's now part of your lifestyle, right?
But it's now just part of our, we just do it. You know, mm-hmm. it's not even, I don't even think about it. It's just something we do. You know, same thing for routines. For us, spiritual life is something that's very important. So guess what? We go to church every Sunday. You know, if I'm not in church on Sunday, I'm probably pretty deathly ill or I'm traveling.
Yeah. Okay.
One or the other, you know, other than that, it's a habit that we've formed. And I think to some extent, thinking about this and realizing that my habits and disciplines don't necessarily have to be yours mm-hmm. either. Yet you have to have something, you have to have a system set up that keeps you kind of on track. We do not do things that are hard without developing a system or a habit or a routine that establishes it. You know, so my wife and I now are trying to work on our physical health. That's something that's, you know, become much more important to us as we've gotten older. So now, guess what? We've got systems set up so that we go for a walk every day. You know, we're now up to a 5 or 7 mile walk every day.
Wow, that's tremendous.
But, you know, that's
you're putting some structures around and systems together that. In my way of thinking, when you have disciplines like this and or structures, then you don't have to think about it quite as much. You know what I'm
Eventually,
saying?
Right.
Eventually. I mean, you do it the first, like you said, you have to have that time of forming the habit, forming the new system, the way of doing things. But if you can develop a healthy system, healthy structures, healthy self-disciplines, that's going to help you get through those difficult times in your life to end up in your promised life and get you to a good place. And it sounds like it's, you know, that's part of your life and lifestyle now, that if that, you know, if that changed, then that would be if you get out of your habits, the good habits, then you can slide back into old habits is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that
can send you back in that spiraling situation that you mentioned earlier.
Right. And that gets back to, you know, kind of that earlier question of where do you draw the energy from? You know, that's why, you know, we can't go alone. We've got to surround ourselves with higher powers and with others that we can draw energy from to sustain those habits and rekindle them. We've got to reach out for I'm going to be really bad American for a minute. And just say this out loud. It's okay to ask for help.
And that's
I know that's un-American, but it is.
That's where our coach comes in, right? That's one of the places a coach could come in. So, and part of what you're doing, I'm in your coaching and consulting business in your life now with you and Carrie is to provide an opportunity for that direction, for even that emotional support, and Absolutely. Certainly some of the disciplines and the habits and the actions to take in order to help people to do that as well, to find their promised life, is like we like to say. So tell us a little bit about Inspired Stewardship and what your mission and values are and what kind of things you're about.
Sure. I kind of referenced it a little bit earlier. You know, the it's evolved over time. I mean, when we started, we were doing just financial coaching, and then we began to have people ask us for help with their productivity, their time management, and how they did that. And so we kind of added that in, and then we had people begin to ask us about what amounted to almost career coaching or leadership development. You know, maybe they were in mid management, they had a team, and they wanted to learn how to work with that team of people better and how to help them succeed, sort of multiply their influence. And we began to work with people on that. And it also ties into your earlier question about, you know, disciplines and habits. As we had people ask us for help in other areas, we had to go out and find, you know, courses and training and mentors and coaches of our own to help teach us how to then do that for others. So now when we talk about what we do, we bill ourselves as stewardship coaches. Mm-hmm. Stewardship in Christian circles. Stewardship usually in church means we're building a building. Can you please give us money? But that's
I'm in one of those right now myself. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's not really stewardship. You know, stewardship is about living out and managing those things that God has given us to help God's glory, right? Living out our various talents, using the time that we're given, using the finances that we're given, the treasures that we're giving, and living those out in a way, managing those in a way on God's behalf to live out our calling. So that's kind of what we do. When people tend to come to us, they tend to have a situation that's going on that's gotten them stuck. They're where they're at, but they know they want to be somewhere else. They know that there's a better place to be, and they feel a calling from God to turn that direction, but they're stuck, and they need some help getting unstuck.
And part
that's
of
what we do. We help people get unstuck.
Offer help people get unstuck, and you offer coaching and other opportunities to get unstuck, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And whether that what's got you stuck is your money, that tends to be a lot of people in today's culture. Secondarily, it can be productivity. If you've ever thought to yourself, there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done, you're right. There isn't. But now how do you figure out how to get the right things done? Or if it's basically talent, which is your knowledge and skills, mm-hmm. you feel like I know I could do this, but I just don't know how.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can help provide some of that how. And that's what my wife and I do for couples and individuals, small businesses, and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Well, if people want to get a hold of you or be in contact with what you're all about, how can folks do that, Scott?
Well, you can find me pretty much all over the place. But, you know, my home base is at inspiredstewardship.com. I'm on Twitter as Steward Coaching, and I'm at email. You can reach me at scott@inspiredstewardship.com.
Very good. Very good. Well, just one more question for you, Scott. This has to do with just your life and your personal life a little bit. You've mentioned your wife, Carrie, several times and how she's important she is to you and what you're about. But let's just say my wife, Debbie, and I came to your house for dinner one night. I just want to know what we're having for dinner and what kind of things are we going to do afterwards? What kind of conversation or activities are we going to be about?
Sure. Well, but if you came over today, you'd actually be having turkey and stuffing and all of the fixings for Thanksgiving dinner. My wife makes a fantastic Thanksgiving turkey. And so because of that, we actually usually have Thanksgiving dinner probably 3 to 4 times before Thanksgiving is over.
Wow. Okay.
We'll have it once. We have it once with various friends. We have it once with our pastor. And our former pastor comes back and we have all of them over. And then we just generally have it once with just family. So we've got at least 3, sometimes 4 Thanksgivings, which luckily I like turkey and stuffing, so that's not bad. So tonight you'd be having turkey and stuffing and all the fixings. Trust me, her turkey melts in your mouth. I don't know what she does. She won't let me in the kitchen when she's doing it because it's like, I think it's a trade secret or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Not that I mind. if you came over in the summertime, though, you'd probably be having brisket barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Because I do most of the cooking in the summertime so that we can cook outdoors and not heat up the house and that sort of thing. And I do a lot of barbecue or steak on the grill, that kind of thing.
All right. Sounds good. Excellent.
And either way, what we'd be doing afterwards, my son would probably rope you into a board game of some sort.
All right.
So, and when I say board game, I don't mean Monopoly. Or life. I mean, we'd be playing something like Settlers of Catan Castle Panic or
some of the fantasy
something
type
like
stuff.
That. Yeah. Well, or some, and probably something you've never heard of and you've never played before.
I haven't heard of those two, but it sounds like fantasy type games to me. So
he's a huge tabletop fan and loves board games that are really weird and esoteric and that sort of thing. And my wife and I do too. So we spend a lot of time as a family playing board games with Carrie, David, and myself. So
sound like a lot of fun. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today on the Pathway to Promise podcast here, Scott. We wish you well, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Absolutely. It's been great. God bless.
And how he was able to really challenge himself to overcome deep, dark depression, even considering suicide at one time, and to pull through that and get through that through the power of prayer and relationships, his spiritual life, his wife, all the things that go into developing his own pathway to his promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, which he has right now. And I certainly commend him to you. He's really all about a sensitivity to helping you to achieve your use your gifts, use the gifts that God has given you
to be a good steward of those resources, and to move forward in that, to manage all those time and talent and the treasures, so you can get unstuck and live out your calling. So I invite you to check out his website, inspiredstewardship.com, and we'll put some notes in the show notes as well. I do want you to know that that Scott is going to be a regular contributor here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. He'll be with us many weeks as we have our program to share with you advice, particularly in the area of relieving debt and building wealth and being financially free. So you're going to enjoy his ongoing contributions to the Pathway to Promise podcast. And look down the road, he and I are working on a project called The 40-Day Way, which is a course and a book which will help you work through this process of finding your promised life. It's all about making choices. It's all about making great choices and to help you get through your life, get through the adversities that you have in life and come out to a better place, built on key relationships and resource people. We hope that I myself and people like Scott can be a resource person for you, be a guide to you in your life to help you move through obstacles and get to your promised life. And that's why we're here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. We're here because we believe every person has a God-given gift, God-given opportunity to have a promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And you get there by working with people and working through a pathway that can get you to your promised life. If you'd like to learn more about what we're doing, just invite you to go over to our website, pathwaypromise.com. We have a gift for you there. The gift is a guide for you. It's a guide for how to start and end your day successfully. It's called How to Frame Your Day for Success, the 4-Minute Way. So go over to pathwaypromise.com and pick that up. You also can be helpful to us if you choose, if you find value in this podcast, by spreading the good news about it to your friends and neighbors and other folks in your social network, both social media-wise and otherwise. We'd love to be able to be helpful to people. We're going to be here every week to be a helpful resource to people. And you can also please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to us today. And if you're so inclined, give us a 5-star rating and leave a line or two in the review field. We would so much appreciate it. I'm Dr. Brad Miller, and it is my passion and my love to be helpful to people, to help them move through, transform their lives from a place of pain and darkness to a place where they claim the promise. So I'm inviting you now to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.